analysis, Trump is hurling towards a catastrophic war in Iran, and almost nothing can stop him. The U.S. is approaching the precipice of war without articulating even the vaguest vision for what follows, and with few forces, domestic or international, able or willing to challenge Trump or his administration. Netanyahu, his first gamble against Iran having paid off last June, is prepared to go all in. By Joshua Leifer. At the pace of roughly 30 nautical knots, or 56 kilometers per hour, the speed at which the USS Gerald R. Ford is, as of this writing, cutting through the Strait of Gibraltar, the United States of America appears to be plunging toward a large-scale war against the Islamic Republic of Iran. It is unlikely that the world's ailing hegemon would move the largest aircraft carrier on the face of the earth out of the Caribbean, where it had been previously stationed, to the Middle East, if it did not intend to use it. Each day, the U.S. has redeployed substantial quantities of military tonnage to its bases surrounding the Persian Gulf. What has already functioned as an outlandishly expensive negotiating tactic is now in place as the infrastructure for not only a single round of strikes, but a prolonged campaign. CBS News reported on Wednesday that national security officials informed U.S. President Donald Trump on Wednesday that American forces will be ready to attack as early as Saturday. There is very little standing in the way of what threatens to be a catastrophic war. This situation was predictable. The current round of talks between the U.S. and Iran began after Trump opted against attacking Iran in January, reportedly because military advisors told him that the options available at the time would not lead to desirable results. From the beginning, the ongoing diplomatic efforts have been shadowed by the U.S. military buildup in the region. Notwithstanding Trump's stated preference for a deal, the American posture has generally faced towards war. The Islamic Republic, meanwhile, was always unlikely to capitulate to the Trump administration's dictates to abandon its uranium enrichment program. By many accounts, both sides have used the last weeks to buy time ahead of an all-but-certain U.S. assault. Certainly, Trump does not appear trigger-shy. If the second Trump administration was initially skeptical of the exercise of military force, it has been emboldened by the putative success of Operation Midnight Hammer, during which it joined in Israel's 12-day war with Iran, and by the attack on Venezuela and abduction of its president, Nicolas Maduro, and his wife from their compound in Caracas. Indeed, for all the talk of restraint that inflected the Trump administration's early foreign policy rhetoric, notably the president's ostensible rejection of interventionism in his May 2025 Riyadh speech, Trump may be convinced that a successful attack on Iran could catalyze a total reordering of the Middle East by toppling the last ideologically anti-American regime and primary obstacle to U.S. designs in the region. Still, despite the parallels with the wars waged against Saddam Hussein's Iraq by Presidents Bush Sr. and Jr., the Trump war on Iran will not be a replay of neoconservative adventurism. The Trump administration has almost entirely dispensed with the pretense of democracy promotion and, despite much vaunted comments about coming to the rescue of Iranian protesters, has made no real effort to clothe the exercise of U.S. military force in the language of human rights. If the Trump administration has learned anything concrete from its predecessors, it is that a ground invasion is to be avoided. That hardly means things will go better. The Trump administration has approached the precipice of war without articulating even the vaguest vision for what would come afterwards. Who will take power if Ayatollah Ali Khamenei is deposed or the Revolutionary Guards are defeated? What will prevent the ethnically diverse and bitterly divided country from descending into bloody balkanization, score setting, or even civil war, thereby destabilizing an already volatile region? What happens if the regime change operation fails, and Iran's current rulers emerge triumphant and emboldened? In typical fashion, the Trump administration seems to be proceeding without much of a plan beyond bombast and the overwhelming display of power. Currently, there are almost no forces, domestic or international, that might act as a brake on Trump's war ambitions. In the U.S., media coverage of the build-up to a potentially calamitous war has been anemic. To the extent that it exists at all, it is almost entirely devoid of discussion of the international legal ramifications and geopolitical consequences of the president's unilateral decision to attack another country that is home to roughly 90 million people. The American public has been demoralized into submission by unceasing chaos at home, leaving Trump with less reason to worry about foreign policy backlash than his recent predecessors. If the first Gulf War was, as the French theorist Jean Baudrillard argued, the first war to be broadcast as postmodern televisual spectacle, and the Iraq War was defined by the media's complacent acceptance of George W. Bush's lies, the U.S.-Iran War would be the century's first war of the post-journalism age, in which the problem is not a fatuously pliant press corps but the outright elimination, across much of the country, of a genuinely free and critical press, the fourth estate of democracy. Abroad, Europe is largely on board with regime change in Iran, even if some European leaders are reluctant to say so openly. at a time when European heads of state are patting themselves on the back for pronouncing against Trump's policies on Greenland and NATO, almost none have criticized the march to war in Iran with commensurate gusto. That is because Europe sees Iran as part of the global pro-Putin axis, aiding Russia in its war against Ukraine by providing the drones that have become a cornerstone of Russia's offensive strategy, and as a threat to the West. Unlike in the 2000s during the Iraq War, a U.S. attack on Iran will provoke relatively little gnashing of teeth in European capitals over the demise of the international rules-based order. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, for his part, has doggedly worked to persuade Trump to strike Iran. Taking down the Islamic Republic has been Netanyahu's objective for decades. He now stands closer than ever to having it realized. The 12-day war last June may well prove to have been a prelude to a more ambitious joint U.S.-Israeli effort, a rehearsal for the big dance. Israel's easy achievement of aerial dominance last June exceeded most Israeli defense experts' expectations, while the low number of Israeli casualties has lowered the perception of the risks another war with Iran might entail. His first gamble having paid off, Netanyahu is prepared to go all in, with overwhelming U.S. military might as a backstop. The Islamic Republic is a brutal government responsible for killing tens of thousands of its own citizens, brutalizing them, jailing them, and denying them fundamental rights. It is the primary sponsor of terrorist groups like Hezbollah and Hamas. It backed Bashar Assad's regime in Syria, which turned the country into a charnel house. It supports Putin's Russia in its gruesome war against Ukraine. The Iranian people deserve to be free. But Donald Trump, to understate things grossly, is not the liberator for which so many are waiting. A U.S. war of regime change is unlikely to bring about a better, freer future. It is more likely to lead to a violent, chaotic, and inhumane one.